Brother David said that wasn't planned, but it was. God knew all about it. He just didn't know the plan, right? You know, sometimes we run into that. God's got a plan. We just don't know what it is till He moves on us to help us, to motivate us by the Spirit. How great thou art. You know, a question asked, because I don't truly think we know how great God is, truly is. So kind of a question asked. I'll share a few verses of Scripture with you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see this number come this way. I know y'all looking around. If numbers are going to discourage you, just get over it this morning. Amen. I mean, we've got folks on vacation trying to get it in before school starts back, right? Too late for some of them. Too late for some of them, is school starting back. Connor's already in school, but the rest of the group, I think, is going this week. And then we've got folks traveling. I hadn't heard from Jim and Joyce in a week. They don't tell them where they're at now, right? Utah. All right. Well, they're all out. You know, got a bunch of folks out on vacation, a bunch of people traveling. But we're here to worship and praise the Lord. You know, two or more, and I'll be in their midst. That's the promise of God. And I'm thankful for that. Also, you got all the Bradfords out. Now, I've thought about this a lot. You know, it kind of got a rumor leaked out that it's Brother Fred's birthday, and he asked all the family to come be with him. And he got a rumor leaked out that he might retire today. But I heard the same thing last year. Amen. Didn't y'all remember the same thing last year? I believe Fred starts these rumors, don't you? And I got thinking about it. It's like Brother Herschel's one more trip west. Amen. If we heard that once, we heard it how many times, Karen? Dozens of times. Well, if I could just make one more trip west, you know, just one more trip west. Amen. I believe God took him that way on the way home. I do. I believe God took him that way on the way home, you know. But Brother Fred, I don't know. That's just a rumor. I don't know that for sure. I asked Melvin. He said, I don't know. Of course, Melvin knows nothing, you know, most of the time. You know, he don't get involved in such as that. But Brother Fred had asked all the Bradfords to come down. That's where part of this side of the choir was at this morning. And I hope they're having a good service and a good singing down there, don't y'all? Amen. I think it's wonderful if they went down to support their daddy. You know, preached all his life, pastored that church, what, did he say 37 years? Well, that's this time. That's this time. He pastored there twice. You know, he's just talking about this time. But anyway, they've gone down to be with him. And I kind of wondered, I thought about that this morning. I thought, well, I think I heard the same thing last year. Oh, I want you to all come down for my birthday and then leak a little rumor that he might retire. But, you know, however it goes, we'll be very much in prayer for him. And I'm not saying that out of disrespect. I respect Brother Fred uttermost. I mean, he's kept the faith and finished the course. You know, that's what we'd have to say. You know, that'd be a description of it. Let's look at 2 Peter this morning, chapter 3. We were singing and praising God about the promise to come and about the homecoming that's going to happen. We've got a homecoming taking place here today. Going to be the McKeg reunion after a while. Just in a little while. I guess when I get through preaching, right? And anyway, going to start the McKeg reunion. And looking forward to seeing a bunch of those folks I hadn't saw in a while. Good to have Miss Inez here with us this morning. She's been looking forward to it. She's been looking forward to getting to come. And I'm glad to have her here. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, let's stop just a few minutes. You know, I love to read and study about Peter. He's kind of a fiery man. That's the way I picture him. And when he talks about in this second epistle, I write unto you in both which stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter was always stirring up something. What? You know, he was always stirring up something. There was something going on. He always, I think, had the angle or had the insight to the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to share it through the people. If you read through, you know, 1 Peter and through that book, you're going to find that he was spending a lot of time encouraging the Christians. And in 2 Peter, I want you to think about this. This is the last time that God used him to write his word unto us. And on this last effort that God was allowing him to write and pen down that we'd have the Word of God, he wanted him to be very careful and remind everybody that God's Word is true and there is going to come an end of time and the ungodly will face the wrath of God. Now, you know, this is an important thing. And I think about it, he started up and he said, I'm going to do this that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I get thinking about, if there's one thing ought to stir us up, it's the power of the Word of God. That we know that we have God's Word, that it is His promise, it is His Word. It's not going to fail. It's going to be just as it says. And so we're going to cover a little bit of this today about what's going to happen to the ungodly. And then we're going to have cover a little bit of what's going to happen to the godly. And it's going to be totally different. I mean, there's going to be difference as daylight and dark. It won't be hard to tell the ungodly from the godly in that day. Now, you might go out here in this world and have a hard time telling them apart, but when that day comes, you'll know the difference. It talks about in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For this they are willingly ignorant of. They're willing to be ignorant of the Word of God and about what's going to happen in the second coming. Now, God gives us instructions and gives us His Word that we're not to be ignorant. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, very plain, it said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's the Word of God. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And so God don't want us to be ignorant, but He wants us to be knowledgeable and understanding about what's going to take place and what's going to happen. Let me tell you, this world's going to go away. Everything you can look at is going to change because God's going to change it. Now, a lot of people don't want to understand. They think that their house, their home place is going to be there forever. No, that's going to be far from the truth. But they're willingly ignorant of the Word of God. Verse 6, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. And that goes back to the day of Noah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but you go back and read about Noah, and I'm telling you, God flooded this thing. Destroyed it. Changed it. And now I've got good news to tell you, He's not going to do that again. But He's going to burn it. Going to melt it with fervent heat. And everything you know, everything you can look at today is going to change. In verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now kept in the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Excuse me. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. If we mark the Lord's time, I'll never preach too long. Got one amen. If you're looking at the Lord's clock, you'll never be in a church service that's too long. When you start thinking about the measure that He gives, one day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day, time don't matter to God. I don't believe God's got a clock on the wall. I don't believe God's got a calendar because it don't make any difference to Him. He's eternal as we are going to be. But when I got thinking about this, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's given us time. Thank the Lord that He didn't let the Lord come back before I was saved. And then you can stand up and say, thank God that He didn't let the Lord come back before I was saved. Amen. And it's still continuing unto today. We wonder what hinders or what holds. Nothing hinders. But it's that those might believe. He's given them extra chances and day after day that they might repent of their sin and come to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to come a difference. A lot of people don't like to think about the difference that's going to come. But in verse 10, it said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Is that plain enough for everybody to understand? The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, the earth also. It talks about the work that are therein shall be burned up. And a lot of people question that and say, well, what about the work? The work I do for God's not on earth, it's reserved in heaven. That's not going to be on fire. The earth is what's going to burn. That's what's going to be on fire. That's what's going to melt away. And these works that we do on earth are going to be burned with it. But works you do for God will be reserved in heaven. And so we begin thinking about when this earth is destroyed, when it melts with fervent heat, where are you going to be? I know where I'll be. I'm just asking you that question. Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Now there's going to be a big difference, aren't there? That we that are saved, we that are believers, we are faithful to the Lord, are going to look at this new heaven and this new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, I like this area and I like this community. I chose to live out here. We did. We made a choice to live in this community because we liked it. And I like the people. But you think about the one of righteousness. You know, all of us could sit and pick out somebody we'd kind of rather not be in this community, right? I mean, you could go to your mind, oh, well, you know. Well, I want to talk about this new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's the one I'm looking for. I'll be out of work as a pastor, won't I? Why would you preach something that everybody knows? Why would I go visit anybody that's better or as good as I? Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Me and Larry Moore's life about it, he said, well, we'll both be out of work. No more dying. Both be out of work. And then I disagreed with him. My job then will be to worship and praise an almighty God. And I'm going to try to do a good job of that too. That'll be our responsibility and our work to worship and pray. We'll just have a job classification. It'll just change a little bit. I'm not going to be out of business. I'm not going to be out of work. My job's just going to change. But I want you to think about the promise of God. It's going to happen. It's going to come. Are we prepared? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. On them days when you're a little bit down and out, on those days that the sorrow has won a battle over joy. We all have them, don't we? You know, there's some days you get up and joy wins, don't it? Happiness prevails. And then we've lost enough loved ones in this church that I know there's days that sorrow is the dominant factor. When I find myself in one of those days, I turn and read this. I do. I like to think I spend a lot more days in joy than I do in sorrow, but I'm just like y'all. I've lost mom and dad and grandpas and grandmas. And, you know, I can say it, and there's some days that sorrow wins the battle. And when I find myself in that situation, I think sometimes, well, I got up with that, but I'm not going to go to sleep with it. I'm going to do something about it. And I turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever separation's temporary. It's not going to last. I mean, we're here and we're waiting and we're looking for that change. We're waiting for that trump. We're waiting for that shout of Christ. When the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to forever be with the Lord. And I tell you, it brings a joy to know that I've got a good time coming, hadn't I? There may be a day of sorrow comes in here, there, and yonder, and alone. But I'm going to tell you, we don't have to let that sorrow persist day after day after day, because we can have the joy that we've got the promise and we've got the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day there's going to be a great reunion. And we're going to meet them in the air. You think about husbands and wives united. You think about mama and young sons united. You think about the day that that's going to be. And we can have joy. You're going to hug that boy. And we have that promise from God because of the righteousness and because of the belief and because of the faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, that's what qualifies us to claim this Scripture and embrace this Scripture and take this Scripture to heart. It's because we took Jesus Christ as Savior. This promise don't apply to everybody. The unbelievers, the ungodly, won't be going. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. They, not we, they. And it's distinguishing and making a difference between believers and unbelievers. You don't think it's important to be saved? Let me tell you, it means whether you're us or they. We or they. And that one word description will mean heaven or hell. That one word description will mean whether you meet loved ones in the air or you fail to make that mark. And so we want to talk about we and they. And it talks about they, and it said they shall not escape. Travail as it comes on a woman with child. It goes farther. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that you should that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And so we have an understanding and we have a knowledge that this day is going to come. And it's not going to surprise me. Now, I can't tell you the day. I'm not going to set the hour. But it's not going to surprise me when it happens. I'm not going to be overcome and shocked. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And we're talking about the sleep. They're sleeping through. They're not knowledgeable. They're not understanding. When you sleep, do you know what's going on around you? No, you don't. If you're truly asleep, it's just a time of unconsciousness. That's what it's talking about. We've got a world of folks that are asleep. They're unconscious, not realizing what's going on in the world around them that's leading up to the second coming of the Lord. And then it talks about drunken in the night. They're drunken by the things of this world. has manipulated their minds to the point they believe it. You know, I love this church. I love where we live. All going away. When you compare this building to the beauty of God, it just won't hold up, will it? It just won't stand it. And so God will take it out so He can replace it with His beauty and His wonders and His miracles that we could see. One or two more verses I want you to think about. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. For God had not appointed us to wrath. This wrath God's going to pour on this world is not for me. It's not for believers. It's for unbelievers. It's for ungodly. This is the promise of God. I know a lot of people worry, well, how are we going to get through that tribulation? How are we going to stand through all this fire and torment? I'm not appointed to it. Matter of fact, I'm not going to be here to even worry about it. The trumpet sounds and Christ shouts before the tribulation. Now, a lot of people, and there's a lot of arguments in that, but I'll show you scripture in it. And when that trumpet sounds and Christ shouts, guess where this old boy is going to be? I'm going to meet him in the air to forever be with the Lord. And as much as I've thought about wanting to see my loved ones, I believe I'm going to look for Christ first. Of course, he'll be leading the group, won't he? He'll come first. We've got a promise of God. Those days when sorrow seems to be dominant, remind yourself. I'll do like Peter. I'll stir you up a little bit. Remind yourself. This is just temporary. This separation that we experience each and every day, it's just temporary. I'm going to try to, well, I preached this same sermon, I guess it was Friday afternoon, or part of it. Brother Joe over set up on Denny's property. Talked about how much he missed him. And I reminded him, it's just temporary. It ain't going to last. Just temporary. Not appointed to wrath. That's good words, isn't it? It talks about Christ Jesus in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. And I'll close right there. It's all about Jesus. We talk about the second coming. We talk about the trump sounding. We talk about descending with a shout. I'm going to tell you, Jesus could come to you today. You know, that's the second coming that we're looking for. As children and the saved verse, we're looking for that. I'm looking forward to that day. But I want everybody to know that Jesus could come to you today. He could come into your heart that would qualify you to be in what I've talked about. See, everybody's qualified either for heaven or hell one. And a qualification it's based on our belief and our trust in what God has done through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And see, if you don't believe that, you're qualified for damnation in hell, the lake of fire. And if you're a believer in that, you've qualified for heaven. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. But it said they decided and chosen to be ignorant of the Word of God.